When you meet someone for the first time, what do you say? Hey, I'm Paul. You say your name. Hey, I go to this school. Hey, I've got this amount of brothers and sisters. Or you might go a bit deeper and you might say, hey, I'm nice or I'm kind or I joke a lot or I don't joke a lot. But you're going into personality. What do you say when someone asks you, who are you? And that's the question we want to answer over this 8-week series. Who are you? That's what I want you to figure out. Who are you? And this question is really important because the way that you answer, who are you, reveals your identity. Who are you reveals your identity. What defines you? What makes you you? What makes you different from everyone else? Who are you? I want you to think about that for 5 seconds. Who are you? How would you describe it? If you wrote a list, what would you write? If you drew a picture, what would you draw? Right? If you had to explain to that really scary-looking guy with the beard, what would you say? Right? Who are you? This answer is really important because our answer and our identity, it changes the way we think, it changes the way we act, feel, the way we live. For example, if a part of my answer, my identity, if a part of it is, well, I'm unlovable, then that will change the way I live, the way I think, the way I act. So if you've been grown up and for some reason, maybe your parents keep saying bad stuff about you or maybe friends reject you and you've come across and you've said, you know what, I'm this, 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 and this, but I'm also unlovable, that changes everything about your life. When you meet someone new, you're like, oh, I don't know if they want to get to know me. I'm unlovable. And when you go to a new place, you're like, oh, you know, I'm not confident because I'm not sure that I'm that interesting. Right? The way that you see yourself, the way that you think about yourself, it changes your life. A second example, if you were to say, I'm a failure, right? Because I didn't get into the school I wanted to. Because my parents always tell me, you're not as smart as your brother. Why aren't you like this guy? Why aren't you like your friend? And you feel like I'm a little bit of a failure, and that's a part of your identity. If that's what you think, that affects the way you feel, act, and live your life. Right? You might not try at school because you think, well, I'm going to fail anyway. Why should I try? You might have a big dream, but you don't even try to achieve it because you think you will fail. And that all comes out of your identity. Right? But if you think, oh, I'm awesome, and that's a part of your identity, and every time you wake up, you look in the mirror, and you're like, hey, you're awesome. And your parents are like, hey, you're awesome every day. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'm awesome. High five. And if that's a part of your identity, that changes the way you live, the way you think, the way you act. And you'll be confident. And you can be like, I can do anything. And when you meet new people, you'll be like, yeah, I'm Paul. And you're really confident because you think you're awesome. Right? So the way you see yourself, your identity, it affects everything about your life. And in the next 7 weeks, we want to ask you, who are you, and find the answer. But here's the thing. We want to find out not what you think about yourself, not what your friends think about you, not what your parents say about you. We're going to find out what God says about you. And that is the most important voice we should listen to in our lives. For example, let me explain like this. If I was walking along the beach and I found something, like I found this, I could be like, oh, what is this? What is this? And I could try to figure it out by myself. And I might look at this, and it's got this metal stuff here. And I'd be like, oh, it's a keychain, right? I put my keys on it. So when I can't find my keys, I just have to look for this big thing, right? It's hiding in the couch. Oh, here it is. It's a keychain. Is it? I don't know. I could make it up. Or I could say, hey, it's got this little stuff on the bottom. It's like a gun, like a toy gun. And I'm like, zoom, zoom, zoom. Right? Or something. Or I could be like, hey, it's round. It's like a massager. And you're like, massage your arm. Oh, yeah, massage my neck. It's a massager. But if I really wanted to find out what this is, I would look at who made it. And it says MacPack. And I'd Google MacPack, or I'd give them a call and I'd say, hey, I found this thing on the ground. Can you tell me what it is? Because you made it. And they would say, oh, it's a torch. And then I'd go, oh, it's a torch. Why? Because that's what you said it was. Because you made it. And I could live my life saying, no, it's not a torch, it's a massager, it's a massager. But I'd be wrong. Because MacPac made it, and they know what this is. And in the same way, we believe that God made you. And if God made you, we should go ask God what he says about you. We should ask God, God, who do you say I am? Because you made me. Who do you say I am? Not what my friends think. Not what my parents say about me. God, who do you say I am? Because if he really made you, if you believe that, then he knows who you are and what kind of person you should be. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at who God says you are. And our subtitle for this series, is it up there? Is our logo up there? Yeah? No? No. Okay, our logo, it says, it's got identity, and then it says, I am who I am says I am. And what we're saying is, that middle I am is God. In the Old Testament, Moses met God in a burning bush, and he said, who should I say sent me? And God says, tell them, I am sent me. That's his name. I am. That's one of his God's names. Because I am just God. And I'll quickly explain it. He says, I am full stop, because it's not I am holy, because holy doesn't describe God. God shows us what holy is. Does that make sense? I am loving. Loving doesn't describe God. God shows us what loving is. So we can't really describe God. We see God and he explains himself. That's what he's saying. I am full stop. I am God. And so I am saying that I am not who I think I am. I am not who my friends say I am. I am who I am, right? God says I am. I am who I am says I am. And this week's sermon title, and we're going to write them up here in this beautiful banner that Johanna wrote, If I Am in Christ. That's our title today, If I Am in Christ. And every other week for the next 7 weeks is I am something, I am something, I am something, I am blessed. You know, I am adopted by God, I am something else. But this week is If I Am. And the reason why this week is different, because if you get today, everything else for the next 7 weeks applies to you. But if you don't, it doesn't apply. If you are in Christ, you are this, that, this, that. But if you are not, it doesn't apply to you. So I'm going to quickly read the passage we just read, Ephesians 1, 1 to 14. Do you have it in your Bibles? Is it up on the screen? No, I'm going to read it, okay? I'm just going to quickly read it, speed read. And I want you to count the number of times it says in Christ, in him, in Jesus. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Christ Jesus, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made us known to the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in unity in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were first to put our hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, etc. Basically, the passage just says, in Jesus, in him, in him, in Jesus, in Jesus, in Jesus. What he's saying is this. Everything that I'm going to talk about for the next 7 weeks, the blessings of your identity in God applies if you are in Christ. Everything comes out of being in Christ. And that's why our logo has the guy next to the cross. Do you get that? That's the letter I, which is I, huh? And the T is the cross. Your identity comes only when you're next to the cross, when you know Jesus, right? When you know the gospel, everything else comes afterwards. So if you don't believe in Jesus here today, I want you to stick around for the next 7 weeks. But I want you to remember, this applies if I am in Christ. If I am in Christ, all of this applies to me. I want to read one verse, the other verse that we read, and I just want to make one point. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 22. I want to read verse 21. It says, death came through a man. The resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. I want you to understand something. There are two types of people in this world. This passage says, you're in Adam or you're in Christ. I could put a line down this room and split everyone and say, everyone in Adam over here, everyone in Christ over here, and we would all go to one side of the room. No one will be left out. But we could divide everyone into one of those two categories, in Adam or in Christ. And so the question is, are you in Adam or are you in Christ? And if you don't know, you're probably in Adam. And that's where you don't want to be. You guys know the story of Adam and Eve in Genesis? Right? God creates Adam, and then he creates Eve, and he says, hey, I got all these fruits and plants that you can eat. Eat anything except this one. One. Just one. You're going to have thousands of other fruits. Just don't have one. And which one did they eat? They ate the one. Right? They eat the one. And they basically said, God, we reject you. I don't follow your rules. I follow my own rules. You're meant to be God, but I'm going to make myself God. And they reject God. And in that moment was the first sin. Sin entered the world. And the world was never the same. And this world that we live in right now, it might look okay, but it's filled with sin. And every single one of us, by default, when we're born, are born in Adam. We're born in sin. And what happens to Adam is when he sins, he rejects God. God rejects him. He's separated from God. He deserves punishment from God. And now death and sin enters his life and the world. And for those of us in this life, in Adam, we are separated from God. We reject God. We love to sin. We're rejected by God. We deserve punishment. We will die. We are in Adam. We're just like Adam. That's what the Bible says. And this isn't a good thing. This is the default place you are. If you don't know where you are in Adam. But God, out of his love for you, made a way. God, out of his love for you, did not leave you to die and go to hell. He sent Jesus. And what Jesus did was, when he lived a perfect life and died on a cross, he said, I will take your place. I will take your sin. I will take the burden and the wrath of God and the punishment that you deserve for your sin on me. That if you would just believe, that your sin will be given to him. And his perfection or his righteousness is given to me by faith. And if I believe in Jesus, put my faith in Jesus, I am now in Christ. Well, I move from a person who is in Adam and deserve everything that Adam deserves to being a person in Christ. And getting everything that Christ deserves. That's what it means to be in Christ. I believe in what he did in his life, in his death, his resurrection. If you are in Christ, everything else applies to you. Right? You might have heard this story 100 times, you growing up in church. Do you believe that to be true? Not just, yeah, I think it might be true. Do you, with all your heart, believe it's true? And are radically changed by it. If you are, if you do, you are in Christ. If you don't, you're not in Christ. Let me explain it like this, as two boats. And you might have heard this before. You are born on a boat. The boat's name is Adam. Okay, you know how boats have names? This boat is named Adam. And you're born in Adam, right, on a ship. There's a hospital on the ship, and you're a baby. You're born in the ship Adam. But this boat, because it's messed up, it's sin, it's got like rust and things are falling apart and it's got a hole at the bottom and it's sinking. And that's what life is like in Adam. You're going to die. You're destined to die, right? It's a bad place to be. But God, out of his grace, didn't just leave you there to die. He sent a nice ship next to you, and this one's perfect. Nothing's wrong with it. It will never sink. This boat is named Jesus Christ. And the way to go from one ship to the other is through faith, believing. If you stay in Adam, You die. You go to hell. You're separated from God. If you believe in what Jesus has done, you will be able to live in all the blessings and identity that we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. And so my question to you today is, are you in Adam or are you in Christ? Does the story of Jesus and what he did on the cross shake you, make you so overwhelmed, so full of amazement that God would die on a cross for you? Or is it just another story? If I were to divide this room in half, would you be on the Adam side or on Christ? In Adam, all die. But in Christ, right, there is life. You come alive only if you are in Christ. Both Jesus and Adam represent human race. I just want to say this one thing and we'll close. Adam and Jesus are very similar. Both are born perfect. No one else is. Right? Adam was born perfect when there was no sin. Jesus is born perfect. Right? Everyone else is born sinful. Both began with a right relationship with God. Adam in the garden, Jesus with the Father. Both attempted by the devil. Right? Adam, eat the fruit. Right? Jesus in the wilderness. Both represent humans. Right? Adam or Jesus. But Adam sinned. Jesus didn't. Adam failed. Jesus succeeded. Adam disobeyed God. Jesus obeys God. And through Adam's life, he brought death. But through Jesus' death, he brings life. Right? You get that? Through Adam's life, he brings death. Through Jesus' death, he brings life. Adam causes a perfect world to fall, but Jesus provides a way for a fallen world to become perfect. And so if you're in Adam, you're on your way down. If you're in Jesus, he makes you perfect. He brings you life. He brings you salvation, eternity in heaven. You need to get on this side. And you get there by faith. And so I want us to close our eyes today, PG1, and ask us. You know, the next 7 weeks are going to be great 7 weeks. And we're going to talk about just amazing blessings of what it means to be in Christ. But I got to ask you, are you in Christ? Do you believe in what I said with all your heart? That God became a man out of love for you, did not leave you to die. Out of love for you, did not just leave you to go to hell. But God would die on a cross for your sake. God would take your sin on his shoulder. God would make a way that you, who used to be in Adam, and used to be included with all of that junk, can now be included with Christ and all the blessings that flow from that. If you believe that in faith, the next 7 weeks are all about you. If you don't yet believe it, over the next 7 weeks, we're going to come back to Jesus and the cross because that's what it's all about. I want to keep asking you, are you ready to be in Christ? All the blessings flow out of Jesus Christ. If you're a believer here, we want to go to God and say, thank you that I'm in Christ. Thank you that you didn't leave me on that ship with a hole to die, but you sent Jesus Christ to save. If you're not here, maybe it's time today to take a step of faith and to say, God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe that I deserve to die. I believe that you are real. And I believe that Jesus is real. I believe that this message that he died on a cross is real. I want, by faith, by belief, give my sin to you, give my life to you. I want to change. I know that you've done it all. I just need to believe. Let's pray, PG1. Wherever you are, let's come before God. Let's pray. At the gate, we are so blessings flow.
The fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. God flesh, fullness of God in helpless life, His gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied for every sin. On Him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground His body lay, light of the world when darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, and up from the grave He rose again. And as He stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am His, and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, and Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from His hand. Till He returns and calls me home, here in the power of Christ. And as He stands in victory, His curse has lost its grip on me. For I am His, and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. For I am His, and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. For I am His, and He is mine, bought with the precious blood. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving seems my comforter, my all in all. Here in the tomb of Christ I stand.
Let's pray, peace one. Heavenly Father, we repent of our sin when we look at our own lives. You know, honestly, it's quite obvious that you aren't really God, that we love to sin, that we reject you so often, and we sin time and time and again. But we thank you, God, that you are a God of love, you are a God of grace. You are a God who didn't leave us to die. You didn't leave us where we were, separated from you. But out of your love, your grace, you sent Jesus to make a way. That just through faith, simply belief, not something complicated, not something difficult for us, but just faith in Jesus, we could be in Christ. Heavenly Father God, I just want to pray for every brother and sister here who may have grown up in church. Maybe they've only been at church for a little while. Who believe that they are in Adam. God, I pray that for this brother and sister that you would continue to work in our lives to give us faith, to give us that urge by your Holy Spirit to be in Christ. Put our faith in Jesus. Father, we know that when we make that decision, everything in our lives radically changes. Everything about us radically changes, and our identity radically changes. God, we know that whether we're in Adam or whether we're in Christ, it affects our identity and our eternity. Help us to be in Christ. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters at PG1 that you would be with us this week until we meet again. We thank you that you are always walking with us. We pray all this in Jesus' name.